Thank you, my friend, Brandon Baxham, the fourth outdoorsman of the Four Outdoorsmen Show. I tell you what, tell Bryce Hagee to get his butt in here because he knows more about fishing than I sure do.
He's on his way.
Yeah. We'll talk to Bryce Hagee for a couple of seconds. Hey, sit right here for a couple of seconds. Bryce Hagee was just on the Homegrown Show.
What's going on, everybody?
I know you're a music stud and all this, but you always talk about fishing. Are you an avid fisherman as well?
Yes, my father actually used to coach for Elk River. I'm a huge pan fisherman, and I just love fishing in general, yes.
All right, so I'm in. Next spring, I'm in with you, I promise you. All right?
Me
too. You'll take me?
Seriously, well, I got your number. Let's connect. Let's make it happen.
He's going to call you every week until then, just so you know.
Hey, I got some private lakes, man. You would not believe the size of these slabs, man.
When I get off the air tonight, on the way back home, I'm going to call you. I've got your phone number on my phone as well from last year.
Let's hit it up.
I'm going to tell you some stories about backwoods fishing that'll blow you away. I love that crap. I like going where nobody does, man.
Yeah.
The harder it is to get there, the more I want to go.
Oh, I love
it. Bryce Hagee, you're my best friend for the rest of my life. Take care. Get your butt out of here. We got a show to do.
Nice to see everybody.
Four Outdoorsmen tonight on Bob FM, and you bet, Bryce. Thanks for being on the Homegrown Show. Sam's next to me. Mark's next to me. And boy, Mark, you had a big weekend, didn't you?
Big news. First off, I would like to thank Sam Oftedal wholeheartedly for letting me hunt on his land and take my son. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be doing all these great outdoors things because I'd have to drive a long ways.
And I want to piggyback, and I just want to thank the good Lord for providing this land to us.
Go. Yep. So, yes.
No, not right now.
I shot a deer with my son Nick on the second week of deer camp.
It's the best time of them all.
It was a blessing to say. I honestly prayed and said, God, bring a deer here so I can shoot one with my son Nick. I'm not even kidding. And about 5 minutes later, doe came kind of trotting right in front of me. I would say, 75 yards maybe?
It was moving. It was closer to 100.
I was trying to get it to stop, and it wasn't going to stop. It didn't care about any noises. I tried doing the meh, you know. Sometimes they stop and say, what's that? So it got, you know, to my probably 10 o'clock, about 20 feet before it got in the woods, and I let her rip.
Yeah, boy.
So I took a shot. Super excited. Nick was super excited. Just to have him, he's never been in the stand when a shot was taken. And to go through that process of finding the deer and everything, Sam was smart and said, wait a while, because I was excited. I haven't shot a deer in 20 years. And honestly, I've never shot a deer without my dad with me, who has shot 50 deer, right?
Yeah.
So this was the first time that I was the actual guide of, you know, finding a deer or whatever. Sam came with me. He knows.
Is that why you grabbed my hand when we started doing, we tracked it? He grabbed my hand like a little boy.
Yeah.
That's
like,
why.
Daddy, where'd the deer go?
Dad?
Sorry.
So anyway, so I took a shot. It was moving. And you know that feeling after you take a shot, you're like, uh-oh, did I miss this thing? I saw it buck like it got hit, right? They say if a deer jumps when you shoot, you hit it.
Yep.
And it jumped and it kind of turned. And it went into the woods, and it was kind of running back and forth goofily, like it was zigzagging. It didn't just beeline out of there.
I'm going to Google that word, by the way.
Yeah, goofily?
Goofily.
Goofily. So we wait a little bit. Sam comes down. He's at his house, and we look. I see zero blood at the site of impact. Nothing. Not at all. I'm like, oh, no. I'm already starting
to... Gut shot sound like a gut shot to me.
I'm already starting to doubt my... Even with a gut shot, I mean, this is a slug sabot, right? So... That's a lot of lead.
A 12 gauge.
So you hit that thing anywhere, you think there's going to be a splatter of blood, and there was nothing. So I'm like thinking, oh, no, here we go, you know. So we walked in the woods, nothing. Then all of a sudden, bam, there's blood everywhere. There was just tons of blood. And the amount of blood, I'm thinking, this thing is going to die, right? Whether it's a gut shot or not, nothing can lose that much blood. And there was a trail zigzagging through everywhere, and then we ended up finding it. It was still kicking around a little bit, so I put another shot in it, and it went down, and then we harvested the deer. I gutted a deer. I've never gutted a deer by myself.
Really? That's interesting.
So it went real. I've seen it done 1,000 times, so it was pretty easy, self-explanatory. And I talked with Sam, and I debated about talking about this because it's weird, right? So we got there. It's got two entry holes. I'm assuming one is from my first shot. One is in the neck for my second shot. We don't see any exit holes, and its butt was blown out. Like, blown out.
Like, honestly, probably, you know, like the Fisher nut or planter's nut peanut cans, the smaller?
Yeah.
That big. Right. Like, no exaggeration. That big.
My wife, Diana, is just enjoying this conversation.
So I'm trying to think of the physics of this because I shot it broadside, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't turned. It's not like that was an exit wound. When it was laying down, I shot it broadside in the neck. And then I gutted it, and the bowels weren't perforated at all.
Yeah.
So there's a bullet did not go, or a shell did not go through the deer out the back because the whole inside would have been a mess. Stomach was intact. Intestines were intact.
Here's what I'm thinking. I mean this sincerely. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I mean this. It's not as a joke.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that that deer probably was just getting away from maybe a coyote or two who was chewing it up.
Maybe.
From the backside and trying to take it down, and it got away.
I have no idea. Maybe it was shot somewhere else, but it wasn't gut shot at all. So there was no hole in the guts.
Interesting.
And why wasn't there an exit wound if I shot it broadside?
I mean,
what's your theory, doctor?
So I've seen this a few times in my career. Sure. I don't know what to call. There's not technically a term.
I'm going magic
for it.
Bullet a la Lee Harvey Oswald.
No, I think what happened to, first of all, these animals, white-tailed deer, are so resilient. They're so strong. It's crazy even after, you know, a huge 12-gauge slug gets put into it, it was able to run, like, you know,
yeah,
probably 75, 80 yards.
It really is.
And what I think happened, if it was moving and trotting, something must have hit a shoulder that we didn't see when field dressing and maybe ricocheted and kind of just wrapped around the rib cage and went out, in the words of Diupers, right up the old bingo hole. that's what I...
that was good. That was very good.
So I think...
To all of you new listeners, try us again next week as well. Promise me, promise, we are better than this.
I think this is gold here.
This is great radio.
Yeah, it is.
I think
talk more about the b-hole.
Yeah. No, I think that's what could have happened, honestly. Like, I mean, it's not uncommon for, if it's the right angle, for a ricochet. It really, it's really not uncommon. That bullet or that savet could have split up and it could have ran right back out. I mean,
there's a couple of guys we can ask about that tonight. Jake Lindeman's going to be on. He's got a hell of a deer hunting story at 6:20. Somebody that Mark knows very, very well. But we also have Jared Mazurek. He's the executive director of the MDHA. He's a new guy, and he might have a theory there as well. So those guys are going to be on later on today.
So just other notes, right? I'm going through this for the first time on my own.
Yeah.
And also, I'm thinking, do I butcher this deer? I've done it before with friends, like, help me out. I'm trying to save money, right? The wife doesn't work anymore. So I'm like, maybe I should try butchering this deer. And then it started going through my head, well, where am I going to butcher it? And then I'm like, my
garage. In your garage. Yeah, that's right. In your garage,
buddy.
And
then I'm thinking about my lovely wife, who is the best wife in the world, grew up on a farm, but she's not a fan of hanging carcasses in
right in the heart of Lana Lakes.
Yeah,
nah,
yeah.
Nah.
And then I thought, you know what would be perfect is me hanging on the swing set because it's
let it rip.
Perfect height.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm thinking, you know, not all my neighbors are as redneck as I am. Maybe they wouldn't appreciate that with children and dogs and everything. So I bit the bullet and took it to a butcher shop near my house. Now, I'm not going to name the butcher shop. I'm not speaking anything against them. I just have a commentary, right? They were super nice, super helpful. I said, I've never dropped a deer off before. I don't know the process. I know butchering process. So they're like, okay, chops, roasts, and I want the rests in hamburger, right? So they're like, $145. I'm like, okay, that's reasonable. Put it down, and then they're like, so your ground, do you want, you know, us to add pork or whatever, I'm thinking I'm going to make this sausage into sausage myself. I have a grinder, I have a stuffer, I have everything.
Yep.
So I don't want anything added because I'm going to buy pork fat and add it, right?
Okay, there you go.
So I'm like, and I'm thinking I don't want any extra charges either. So I'm like, okay, just ground up. And they're like, okay, $145, I paid it. And then they hand me the slip and said, okay, it'll be, if there's 40 pounds of hamburger, which is a lot. That was a small deer. I doubt it. There'll be 40 pounds.
Yeah, there won't be.
But they're like $2, whatever, a pound. They're like, it'll be another $100. I'm like, you have to pay extra for them to grind it? I'm like, that didn't make, I have a grinder. So I screwed up So I'm way overpaying for something I was already hesitant on. And that's a life lesson I will not. I'll either do it myself or not have them grind anything.
Will you remember that lesson in another 20 years?
Oh, I don't know if that's a dig or a compliment or no, what.
It's been 20 years since Mark got his first last year. Go ahead, Sam.
My opinion on that is there's many different butcher shops, and there used to be one that had a whitetail drop-off, actually, mm-hmm. up in Ramsey. And they had, I don't know, a dozen locations, whatever. And they do the same thing. Like, they'd say, yeah, it's $99 to butcher your deer. But then it's like $3 for hamburger. And then you wouldn't even get your own deer back. But that one place in Stanchfield, just north of
Grandy. The one you told me not to go to because it's too far away.
Let's play that call back, buddy. You're like, is this too far from my house? I'm like, you're going to be about an hour from my house.
I'm just teasing you.
I know. So they're $140. You get your main cuts, your tenderloins, your back straps, your roast, all the stuff. And then they take the trim and grind it and put it in 1 pound bags for that price.
Yeah.
So,
and that's, as a kid, that's how it was done.
Yeah.
Right?
That's how it should
be. You pay one price, ground is just included.
Yeah.
So I did not know that that was an add on. So be wary if you've never done that before. Because
what's
going to happen.
And what they'll do is they'll put all your trim in like a big, plastic mm-hmm. bag and a butcher bag, and then you could grind it, and you probably have a.
Again, I'm not naming the place. They were super nice, super friendly. That's their policy and their price. I just was unaware of it.
Yeah, you didn't know.
What I did like is they took out the tenderloins right away, and so we grilled them that night. Like were while I was standing there, oh, it was wonderful.
Yeah,
and I thought that was cool. They're like, just hold on a second. They cut them up, put them in a bag, and go here. And I'm like, all right. So we grilled them that night, and it was awesome.
Well, you don't know as you're getting charged $85 for that.
Yeah, I might get a steak up charge.
Yeah. Tenderloin pre-cut, $79.99.
And it was fast. It was great process. I mean, they know what they're doing because they do hundreds of deer. But I regretted it.
Yeah.
And I'm not the kind of guy to go back and be like, wait. I want it to be the bag.
I'm exactly the same way.
I'm like, all right, take
just,
my money.
Just chalk it up for lesson learned.
I learned my lesson, and next one I'm doing myself.
Yeah.
So how did Nick react? Nick is about 9 years old, right?
Yeah. He's really great in a deer stand. I know some kids, even my other two kids, probably aren't as patient as he is. Bless them. Everyone has their qualities. So he was really excited to go with me, which – makes a dad feel great, right? I feel kind of like I was like, you're going with me. Yeah. I'm like, okay. But he's like, I want to go. And so we had a great time, had some great conversations. We were gonna pack in at noon, right? Because we had the Gopher game was on, which is big in our family. And also he had a hockey game later that night, which he won. And so we're like, all right, noon's it. And this deer came by at 11:30, and he was super excited. I'm really cool that he got to track it with us and kind of experience that whole end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has been with me before in a stand, but never successfully. I guess
congratulations, that a boy. Congratulations.
It was cool how that deer ended up where it was laying, was literally 2 feet from the road, and we were joking Nick saying, we knew where the deer was. We were just trying to jump it to get it closer to the road.
Yeah, I shot an inch left so it'd veer to the left and die right next to the road. And to be honest, the hunting experience is much more enjoyable on Sam's place when you're, walking to a nice heated blind.
Absolutely.
And there's roads everywhere.
Absolutely.
Like, it's not the dragging a deer 5 miles through swamp or, being freezing cold. So
you're telling me you were not all that excited about hunting at the Polish Palace on Mud Creek Road with me?
You know what? I loved that experience. I would do that again in a second if there's any deer up there. I loved walking around and exploring stuff, going and sitting, like pussyfooting, like you like to do. Yeah. I enjoy that too. And sometimes I do get antsy sitting there. Not as antsy as you do.
Yeah.
But
and there's also something to be said about that good old-fashioned sitting in a ladder stand,
Yeah.
Like my cousin Mike and Nate were out yesterday hunting, and I told them they could sit together in a heated blind, in a beautiful area where the scenery, if you don't see a deer, you're still in heaven. And Nate, my cousin, and I mm-hmm. told you this, he was the guy growing up, he would be the first one out, last one in, never mm-hmm. come in for lunch. And so, we're looking at the weather, and he just moved back up here from Indiana. So I was joking with him, when it was 70 degrees, he was wearing a hoodie and all. I'm like, you lost it.
Yeah.
And he came out an opener, and it was cold. What was it, 24
degrees?
Cold. And he sat in a ladder stand all day.
Yep. Couldn't do it. I could not do that. That's
I felt
sure.
a little guilty because, you know, there's other hunters on your land.
Yeah.
And I'm driving trucks around. Hey, I see it over here. You know?
No, that's a nice thing about kind of we're a rural area, but we're almost kind of like close enough where the deer don't mind vehicles. And there's tractors and farm equipment running all the time. They're used to it.
Yeah. Like, and you know, the gunshots are going around them. It does not affect them.
Well, yeah, the
nice.
Gun range is right there. It doesn't affect them at all.
What do you got, Mark?
We have
got?
Two guests later, so we're going to do shout outs right now.
Thank I got you, one too.
Thank you, everyone, for writing in to the Four Outdoorsman shout out. Again, like and follow our Facebook page, The Number Four Outdoorsman. We try not to be too salesy. We just like posting stuff, and you can catch our old shows on there. First one is from our good friend Steve Runneberg from up in Ely. Deer hunting success improved thanks to 2 inches of fresh snow. Ice anglers are gearing up as early as next weekend in Ely. You can see there's ice all across the top of the water up there already. Twin Cities Walleyes Unlimited says, happy Sunday, everyone. Hard water is coming quickly. Looking forward to December 1st meeting with Matt, the myth, the legend, Jason Mitchell, our good friend, is the guest speaker. Maybe we got to go check that out. Shannon Cruz sent a picture from the stand. I have the same jacket. Looking good, Shannon. And Corey Bechtold also wrote in. He's still in the upland season mode. So, and there's a lot of sports shows coming up. The Hardwater Expo is coming up in Blaine next weekend.
I'll be there broadcasting live on Friday from 1 to 3.
Oh, nice boy. Little sales. Is that your sale?
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we have the St. Paul Ice Show, but then the St. Paul Sports Show canceled, right?
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I believe that. The St. Paul Sports Show.
The big one.
Canceled, but the ice show is still on.
Okay, okay. The sports show is in spring, usually, right?
I don't know. I just saw the St. Paul Sports Show.
That's been going on for 50 years. They canceled that?
Are you looking
I thought we heard that from Larry Hansen or somebody last week or whatever, but I think I remember hearing that from somebody
as
well.
Yeah, I don't know told me that.
I know there's like the Minnesota Sportsman Show is January 11th through the 15th.
Yeah, but the Wildwood Lions Sportsman's Dinner still is on for March 6th.
Great segue.
Hey, Stuart, you mentioned you had an important shout-out. Why don't you
I'll tell you, it's funny because Mark was praying for a deer, right? And,
yeah.
And we're thinking how shallow we are. I was praying to get Wordle in 3 chances today, you know? So,
did the Lord answer your prayer?
Oh, Lord, no, I did it in 5.
Oh.
You know? He wasn't listening to me. He listens to you. But but seriously, there's a good friend of mine, Gary Bennett, and his lady friend, Sue Stein. They've been together for many, many years. And they were in Florida. I played softball with Gary for many years. Great athlete. And he's in Florida last week. Had some issues medically. They brought him to the hospital. Thought they got it under control. They got him to... brought him up here to Regions. He's got some kind of blood infection that is very, very serious. They're trying to control that. And apparently there are some underlying issues that are very, very serious as well. So we're praying hard for Gary Bennett and his family and Sue and everybody else. But listen to this, how scary and sad this is. God works in funny ways. Sue's daughter and boyfriend came to see Gary 2 nights ago. On the way home, car accident, the boy died.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, so how can one family go through all of this and still believe and have this, all that kind of stuff? So pray your butt off for people like Gary Bennett. Everyone's got issues, but Gary and Sue are going through a really, really hard time.
Gracious.
And they're great friends of mine, and they got a long road ahead of them. So prayers to you guys, and you're going to make it, Gary. I know you are.
Yeah, that's tough, man. I mean, it's such a challenging thing, and it's a battle, you know? Like, why do we go through things? But, man, it's...
God works in funny ways. If we have 1 minute, we got 1 minute. Do we have 1 minute? All right, tell you what.
Are you about to preach?
No. Oh. I was at the YMCA yesterday, and I see a guy, and he sees me with my cane to talk about the knee, and we start developing a relationship, holding a conversation, and it turns out that he teaches at St. Thomas. I was at Hamlin. I went to Hamlin. He said, what year did you go to Hamlin? I said, I don't know, 74, 75. And I said, he said, who do you know at Hamlin back then? I says, Dick Malkern, Kent Staley, Marty Knight, all these were instructors and coaches. And he said, well, Dick Malkern's still around. He's 99 years old. Kent Staley passed away about 7 years ago. And I'm Marty Knight.
What?
Yeah, my gosh.
He was one of my teachers 45 years ago. He's, what's your last name? I said, Strusinski. Didn't you coach baseball at Hamlin's? Yeah, that was me. He said, tell you what, you wrote a story in my class, a thesis, some kind of a big story about comparing AstroTurf to natural grass in the NFL. And I contacted all the trainers of every NFL team and got research from all of those guys and what they thought of AstroTurf as compared to natural grass.
And this is when it just came out,
And that's right. And there were so many injuries and all of that. And so I got all kinds of stats. He said it was a great paper. Remember giving you an A, but I did not like the title. The title was, It's Not Nice to Fool Mother Nature. which means, you know, astroturf and grass. Right. And that took that was taken from a commercial many, many years ago. But he remembered that story from 1974.
That's incredible.
Wow. Yeah,
Nicole? I couldn't tell you one instructor I had.
Oh, man.
I don't even remember going to school.
What's
so anyway, cool? So hats off to Marty Knight and Paul Schmedeke, his buddy. They went fishing today. And
what a cool story, yeah. Stu.
But it's almost 50 years ago.
And I'm Marty Knight.
And I'm Marty Knight.
All right, up next, Jake Lindemann, a good friend of mine, has an incredible buck story. We'll hear that next after break.
Now would be the time to check on the jerky. These smokers aren't going to tend themselves. You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen on Bob Outdoors.
You've heard us talk about Devil's Lake for quite a while now, and there are many, many reasons why. To think that 30 years ago, Devil's covered about 85,000 acres. Today, that same body of water is over 160,000 acres, and that story alone brings the curious to visit this wonderful place. But it's the no-slot limit on walleyes with 5 a day and 10 a possession. That's bringing the 4 outdoorsmen to Devil's Lake as often as we can. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the entire country. Visit devilslakend.com, and thanks.
Clam Outdoors has what ice anglers need for ice fishing this winter. From portable fish traps and pop-up hub shelters to ice armor by Clam Outerwear and cold weather gear to stay warm on those cold winter days. Along with a wide array of accessories, Clam Pro Tackle, Frost Ice Line, rods, reels, and combos, and so much more. Whether you're a hardcore or casual ice angler, Clam has what you need for ice fishing. Check out the full line of ice fishing gear at clamoutdoors.com.
Tired of losing your valuables down the ice fishing hole? Our friend Bill Katz with BK Outdoors LLC has the most simple, affordable solution on the market. Katz covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. Made in Minnesota, a veteran-owned company, you can order yours directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Mark here for a company called Everest Men's Health. You know, I was getting really frustrated with the traditional healthcare system. There's a lot of weird things going on since COVID, masks, video conferencing. I felt like I wasn't getting personal attention, but guess what? I found Everest Men's Health. They meet with me all the time. They get my blood levels right. I'm feeling way better. I'm losing weight, and I finally get the attention that I deserve. You can do that too. $50 gets you a blood test and body composition and gets you on the path to make your life better. Go to EverestMen'sHealth.com. I'm here with the new owner of Capra's Outdoors, and you know what? Maybe a lot of people, if you're not from the Blaine area, you don't know what Capra's has. Give me the elevator speech, pitch. Sam, tell us what Capra's is all about.
Yeah, no, we're a full-service hunting shop and fishing shop. We have, you know, the guns, the ammo, all the accessories. We have archery, all the accessories, and all the gear for fishing. Rods, reels, tackle, we have it all. We even have an indoor 20-yard range. So come check us out at 8565 Central Avenue in Blaine. Capra's Sporting Goods.
Ice fishing season is almost here. The 2022 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo is coming to the National Sports Center in Blaine November 18th through the 20th. Featuring the latest gear like augers, tackle, rods, reels, sleds, trailers, electronics, and more. Stick around for great pro seminars and learn tips and tricks that will help you catch more fish this winter. There's fun for kids and adults, so bring the whole family. Don't miss the 2022 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo November 18th through the 20th at the National Sports Center in Blaine.
You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big winter fan. So if I can't beat them, I got to join them. And I do that exactly by ice fishing as often as I can when I get near Ely. And who do I turn to? Ely, Minnesota's Arrowhead Outdoors, the largest and only bait tackle store that is open all year round in Ely. And I'll tell you what, great service starts with commitment. And commitment starts with passion. And Chris and Steve, yeah, they've got all of that. Why was Arrowhead Outdoors voted the best fishing outfitter in Minnesota? There's only one way to find out. Arrowhead Outdoors, ELYMN.com. Check them out.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Come and get it.
In just 2 minutes, an Oral-B electric toothbrush can change your mind about what a toothbrush can do. In just 2 minutes a day, its dentist-inspired round brush head cleans 100% better than a regular brush. And in less time than the average commercial break, you can get that purifying, clean feeling like you just left the dentist. Not bad for just a couple of minutes. Oral-B. Brush like a pro.
Come and get it.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Neil here for Zero Res. November is the time to give thanks, and you'll be thankful if you invite Zero Res out. Their cleaning process is platinum rated by the Carpet and Rug Institute, and with their 30-day gotta love it guarantee, they're not happy unless you are. And save money this month. 3 rooms of carpet cleaning starts at just $139 with a free room of fiber protectant and $50 off air ducts. Call 952-ZERO-RES or online ZeroResMinnesota.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. And don't forget to tell them Neil sent you from Bob FM.
The number one request of soldiers is take care of my family. And that's exactly what the Minnesota Military Family Foundation does. We take care of the military family in times of financial crisis. Please donate at MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Total Country Bob FM.
We must make a lot of money because there's an awful lot of commercials on this radio show. The Four Outdoorsman is back. We'll get right to it. Jake Lindeman's on, and he's a friend of my buddy Mark Lukey's. Hey, tell us all about your buddy Jake Lindeman, pal.
Yeah, Jake's on the phone here. I met Jake about 4 years ago. He came out with an innovative new upland hunting vest. The company is called Chief Upland. I begged and begged him to advertise it with me for 2 years or so. He finally broke and has become a partner of the Flush.
Sucker.
And we spent some time at Pheasant Fest, and I've met him a few times. Great guy, lovely wife, awesome company. He's doing really well. Jake, are you with us?
I'm here, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for taking our call. And I want to talk about Chief Upland and your Upland season a little bit. Do you want to do that now, or do you want to get into the Monster Buck story that I found on Facebook?
Hang on a second, Jake. Hang on a second, because I talked to Mark on the way here, and I'm looking at your, not your bio, but just your Facebook page or something like that, and I saw your name, and I saw Chief Upland. And I says, who the hell does this guy think he is? Is he the super, super grouse hunter or something like that? But then Mark explained what Chief Upland is. So now
you thought he was saying the Chief Upland.
Yeah, I'm King Upland Hunter.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was. But apparently it's something to tell us about that.
Yeah, tell us about Chief Upland, Jake.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I do. I spend a lot of time in the woods, deer hunting and bird hunting. But yeah, Chief Upland, we started a few years ago, and we designed the world's first fully customizable front-loading upland hunting vest. So it's based on a military-style MOLLE system where you can pick and choose your attachments, where you want to place them. So we've got a couple different ammo pouches, a water bottle pouch, an electronics pouch. And we've got the vest available in a few sizes and 4 different colors right now. So our goal with that was just to make it really customizable to suit your style of hunting.
I tell you, Jake, I have one, and it is fantastic and comfortable. And you know what? It would work great for turkey hunting, too, which I'm going to try this spring just because it's just so ergonomic. And, you know, at The Flush, we only partner with people with good products, and you have a great product. So thanks for partnering with us, and congratulations on how that's going. Where have you gone upland hunting this year so far? Have you taken the tour out west yet, or are you sticking around Wisconsin?
I've only traveled west actually early in the year for the Iowa Dove opener. I went out with a friend there, Tim Brown, for opening day of dove hunting, and that was awesome.
Yeah, he's
otherwise we've stuck around home. done some pheasant hunting here and a lot of grouse hunting up north.
Tim Brown's a great guy. I spent some time with him. What's the name of his podcast again?
He goes by the Bearded Uplander.
Yep.
And his podcast is the Heartland Legacy Podcast.
Nice. Yeah, check that out. He's a great guy. I spent a lot of time with him. So on to your buck story. I was browsing through Facebook in a deer stand like I always do. And
yeah,
since sure we're friends, I read the story and I thought it was pretty incredible. Why don't you take a few minutes, give us the details, just tell us, just go ahead and we'll give you the mic for a while and tell us the story of exactly what happened.
It's a great story. You know, I've hunted for 50 years and I've gotten a lot of deer, and this is a great story. This is unbelievable. Go, Jake, go.
Sounds good. Yeah, this is my craziest deer hunting story I've experienced so far in my 15 or so years of bow hunting as well. So it was 1 year, basically 1 year to the minute of when I shot an 8-pointer last year. And this was in the same stand. The night before, I had seen a different 8-pointer come out tending a doe. And so the second night, I saw a different 8-pointer come out. There was a group of does, and then he came running out of the woods after him. I was sitting about 20 yards in off the field edge, and he was chasing them around, grunting, kind of annoying them. And I tried to grunt at him to get his attention and get him to come into the woods and check it out, and he was totally ignoring me. And they disappeared for a few minutes, and I thought they went the other way. And about 5 minutes later, the does showed back up, and then sure enough, he popped out again. And this time, he was a little more calm, and I tried grunting at him again, kind of ignored it. And then the does kind of wandered away a little bit, and he was standing by himself. So I grunted one more time, and this time he came trotting right in towards me. So he ended up coming into about 25 yards. I had him fully broadside, and since he was trotting, I kind of made a doe bleat sound to get him to stop so I could get a shot. And that worked. But right before I pulled the trigger, he took a step forward. And I ended up hitting him way far back. It was a gut shot, and I knew it right away. So my heart kind of sank at that point, but I know that pretty much 99% of gut shots are fatal. So at that point, I just stayed quiet, sat till dark, and then I got out of there as quiet as I could, thinking we'll go back the next morning and hopefully he'll have bedded down within a few hundred yards, which is most of the time a gut shot deer will bed down soon if you don't spook them, because they don't want to travel far. So I had a couple friends lined up to come out with me the next morning. This was after about 16 hours of waiting. And we were hoping to find the buck laying in a bed. Well, we went out there and we tracked blood into the woods where I last saw him. And we were really struggling to follow the blood trail because it ended up going in a circle. And we couldn't figure out which way he went, like if he closed up and stopped bleeding. And we're just like, we didn't know what to do. And at some point, I kind of noticed some blood back out on the trail outside the woods that I thought was not really where I remembered seeing him. So we ended up figuring out that he backtracked the same blood trail back out of the woods back into the field where I shot him. And we followed that blood trail 380 yards about, and there was not a single bed in that 380 yards. But at that point, we had reached the neighbor's property. So we backed out so that we could get permission to track. Mm-hmm. And also at that point, we wanted to get a tracking dog on it.
Mm-hmm.
Going into the woods where we hadn't been ourselves at all, so the scent trail would be strong. So this was also voting day. So I went and voted quick, too, in between all this, so I could get that out of the way. And I had a tracking dog scheduled to come at 9 o'clock that night. That was the earliest I could get somebody there. But he was actually telling me tracking dogs work better in the dark sometimes because there's less distraction. The dew sets in and actually helps the scent trail. So
Hey, Blake, refresh.
Throughout the day, then.
Jake, refresh. Hang on. Jake, refresh my memory. This is Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, this is Wisconsin.
So you can use tracking dogs in Wisconsin, but I do not believe we can use them in Minnesota, right? Am I right there? I don't know.
No, I believe you can.
Can you really?
There was talk about that at the studio here earlier this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Minnesota, I guess. I haven't used a dog there.
All right.
But, I mean, we're not using them to hunt the deer. We're using them just to follow, you know, it's basically a blood tracking dog.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry. Yep.
So they specialize in tracking wounded game recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So, so looking at Onyx maps, I could tell where the deer went in. There was a possibility that he crossed three or four different properties.
Wow.
And so I started calling all those property owners, I only knew one of them personally. So I had to get phone numbers through people I knew, and I was trying to connect all the dots because I didn't know how far the track would take us that night. As I'm on the phone with one of the property owners, they get a text from somebody else in the neighborhood saying, "Hey, did you guys shoot a buck? Because so-and-so down the road found one in his yard this morning." And they told me this then while I was asking them permission. I'm like, "Are you serious?" And so they text the guy back right away and said, "Is it an 8-pointer? And he's like, "Yep." And they're like, "Was it gut shot?" And he's like, "Yep." And they're like, "We think we know whose buck that is." Like, you got to be kidding me. So I hung up with them, and I literally ran out of the house to my truck and drove down to the neighbor. And sure enough, him and his buddy are out in the yard, and this buck is laying on his concrete driveway.
Unbelievable.
Soon as I saw it, I knew it was my deer because I remembered he had a broken tine, and the exit wound was exactly where I remembered seeing it in the binos after my shot.
Jeepers, creepers.
And Jake, I saw the picture online, and it was like a foot from the door. Like, it was like the deer was going to try to break into his garage.
Yeah, yeah. So he had a blood trail across his front yard, and this is about 1.2 miles away. So that deer went away on a gut shot, which is very weird, unless he got bumped by a coyote or something like that, but it didn't seem like he did. I think it was just because he was running.
Well, Jake, it was. It's a beautiful deer. First of all, congratulations. And another thing is, I just want to applaud you for putting so much effort into finding a shot deer. Because unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that just won't put that much effort. You were thinking about getting a tracking dog. You waited a long time. You know, some people will just be like, "Oh, that thing's gone." You know, so good on you for putting in the time and effort to find that deer.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I respect the animals a lot, and I honor them, and I think it's worth our best effort to try and recover them, especially when you know a gut shot's probably fatal. It's just a matter of finding him. It's just when and where, you know?
You know, Jake, one time many, many years ago in Ely, Minnesota, I gut shot a deer, I knew it. I used my brother's 30-06, which I'd never used before, was not that comfortable. Went back to the cabin, saw my buddies at lunch, had them come back out and tracked where I could. And about an hour and a half later, I found this deer laying in a creek, still alive, with only his head exposed out of the water. And everybody in the party was walking on the left side of the creek, the right side of the creek with in the valley lake. And I just walked right down in the middle, and this thing was sitting right there. They all walked right by it. It never moved. And when I got there, I was standing on a rock maybe 45, 50 feet away from it, and it looked at me and knew it was all over. But if I didn't see him, I could have walked within 20 feet, and he never would have moved. And that's crazy how these guys can do what they have to do. How many hours do you think you had involved in this entire adventure?
I shot the deer at 4:30 the night before.
Yeah.
And when I finally got that text about the deer, that was 3:00 the next day.
Oh my gosh.
About 24 hours later, just about.
One last question. Have you ever had any neighbors or any private property owners not allow you to track a wounded deer?
I have not had that happen to me, luckily.
Good for you.
Good for you. People are pretty good about it around here, which is really nice.
Awesome, Jake. Well, we have to come on a break. Everyone go to Chief Upland if you need a new Upland vest. It's the best in the business, and I hope to see you soon. And congratulations on your deer, all right, buddy?
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
It's a great story. Thanks, Jake. Man, that's a good story, isn't it?
Yeah, very good.
That's worth the outdoor news, I think.
It's crazy how resilient these animals are. It really is.
Do you remember when we had that guy in that shot an arrow at a buck and killed it a year later?
Yeah.
With the wound, and was totally healed.
And the arrowhead was still in the deer a year later. Uh-huh. The same deer.
Same deer, same spot.
Yeah. If I got shot in the stomach, I'm not moving an inch.
I'd hit my own head on a rock, I think.
Hey, we're going to be right back with Jared Marzurek, who is now the Executive Director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association.
Saying thank you to our first responders and the service men and women of Minnesota. That's something we can all get behind. It's why Bob FM and our homegrown artists have teamed up to create this year's Minnesota Country Salute CD. When you buy a Minnesota Country Salute CD this year, you'll know the net proceeds go to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and Wheels of Honor, two organizations that ensure those who serve us are not forgotten. Say thank you when you pick up your Minnesota Country Salute CD today. Find out where you can buy yours at mybobcountry.com.
You've heard us talk about Devil's Lake for quite a while now, and there are many, many reasons why. To think that 30 years ago, Devil's covered about 85,000 acres. Today, that same body of water is over 160,000 acres, and that story alone brings the curious to visit this wonderful place. But it's the no-slot limit on walleyes with 5 a day and 10 a possession. That's bringing the 4 outdoorsmen to Devil's Lake as often as we can. Devil's Lake, North Dakota, rated one of the top 5 fisheries in the entire country. Visit devilslakend.com, and thanks.
Winter is not the time to have problems with your furnace. Get the best behavior out of your home heating and cooling system with DeZiel Service Partner Plan. For just $9.99 a month, get professional priority service, 2 high performance checks per year, no after hours or emergency service charge, and much more. For the price of fancy coffee, the DeZiel Service Partner Plan can catch small problems before they are big ones. Call the top dog now and get January through March free. DeZiel Heating and AC, serving Wright County and West Metro. Learn more at DeZielHVAC.com.
Clam Outdoors has what ice anglers need for ice fishing this winter. From portable fish traps and pop-up hub shelters to ice armor by Clam Outerwear and cold weather gear to stay warm on those cold winter days. Along with a wide array of accessories, Clam Pro Tackle, Frost Ice Line, rods, reels, and combos, and so much more. Whether you're a hardcore or casual ice angler, Clam has what you need for ice fishing. Check out the full line of ice fishing gear at clamoutdoors.com.
Mark here. If you're a guy in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, maybe 70s or 80s, and you know what? You just don't have the pep in your step. You can't lose weight. You don't have the energy you once had. Go to Everest Men's Health. They have 3 locations in the Twin Cities. Go get your blood tested. Something could be off, and they can help you fix it. Only $50 to go in, get a body composition test, get your blood tested, see if everything's right, or maybe they can put you on a plan to get feeling better. Go to EverestMen'sHealth.com and tell them Mark sent you. I'm here with the owner of Capra's once again, Sam, our co-host. And first of all, tell us exactly where Capra's is and what kind of stuff can you find there, because not a lot of listeners know about Capra's yet.
Yeah, we're at 8565 Central Avenue in Blaine, just about a quarter mile south of Highway 10. We're a full service shop for hunting, fishing, archery, guns and ammo. Hunting season ends today for some, but there's still one more weekend. Also, muzzleloaders coming up, ice fishing. We have it all. Check out Capra Sporting Goods in Blaine, Minnesota.
Ice fishing season is almost here. The 2022 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo is coming to the National Sports Center in Blaine November 18th through the 20th. Featuring the latest gear like augers, tackle, rods, reels, sleds, trailers, electronics, and more. Stick around for great pro seminars and learn tips and tricks that will help you catch more fish this winter. There's fun for kids and adults, so bring the whole family. Don't miss the 2022 Hardwater Ice Fishing Expo, November 18th through the 20th at the National Sports Center in Blaine.
You know the best time of the year in Minnesota is right now? Just walk in the woods near Ely makes my day, whether I bring home a couple of grouse or not. And I stop by Arrowhead Outdoors on the east end of town, where Chris and Steve tell me and everybody else where hundreds and hundreds of public trails are. The grouse numbers are way up, and Arrowhead Outdoors has everything you need for a memorable bird hunt. You got fall fishing, grouse hunts, Ely, Minnesota. That's Arrowhead Outdoors Bait, Tackle, and Hunting Camp.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Hinneker's Quick Hitch and Trip Edge systems makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for commercial or residential use. Have a bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Go to crystalwelding.com.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No time to smoke because we do it all.
And we are back from break. Always a thank you to our sponsors. Without you, we couldn't do it. It's nice to be part of that, actually, now.
Yeah. Thanks, Capra's Outdoors.
Yeah, baby.
Thank you, Arrowhead Outdoors. When you're in Ely, when you're in the Twin Cities, visit Sam. When you're in the northern Minnesota area, you better go to Arrowhead Outdoors. Thank you, Everest Men's Health. Thank you, Clam Outdoors.
Yeah.
Cats Covers, we got to get Bill in again.
Oh, yeah, we love Bill.
It's been
Bill.
A while. We love Bill, and I'm sure he's busy at some of these ice shows coming up.
We had a question come in during the break about what's the best plan of attack for getting into your stand or your blind during the deer season. I'm a firm believer. You don't mind if I take this, do you?
No, and I'll chime in with my thoughts.
Okay, cool.
As I'm a much less successful hunter.
Whatever. We live and die together. Okay. anyway, my idea on this is that if shooting or if sunrise is at 6 a.m., let's say, you know, in Minnesota, you can legally shoot a half hour. So that'd be 5:30. If I'm going to be in an enclosed blind where my scent is going to be a little bit less, I mean, obviously there's going to be still some, I'd like to give myself like at least a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm in a ladder stand where I'm open, I'm probably closer to that hour.
Yeah.
I like, you know, everyone always airs out their orange before the season. Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like if you're 20 feet up in a stand and like the wind's blowing it, you're going to lose.
I don't air out anything ever.
Really?
I think scent is a little overrated.
Yeah.
Personally, at least with gun hunting, right? Bow, it's a different story.
Yeah, no, I definitely
Again,
agree.
I haven't shot a deer in 20 years, so I'm not a pro, but can I tell you why I'd like getting in the stand early?
Yeah.
It depends on where you're hunting, but chances are, if you're in the regular gun season, there's hunters all around getting into their stands.
Yep.
Right? And the best way to shoot something is when someone spooks a deer and they run onto your land.
Yep.
So if you are ready to shoot,
yep.
chances are there's a lot of deer getting pushed around right at that time. So you want to be ready before that. So, A, you're not pushing things out, and B, when other people are pushing you in, I just feel it's good to be ready. You know, the caller mentioned hunting on your way out, and there is something to that. A lot of people spook deer and shoot them, but if your primary attack is a stand, I would be in that stand well before it's shooting time.
Yeah, and also, too, that's I know a lot of big bucks are shot at lunchtime. You know, people get in and go to lunch.
Yeah.
Real quick, I got the story. You know, you're talking about, like, it's different during gun season because we're in that rut, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you talked to a lot of old-timers who shot their buck smoking a cigarette, you know?
Yep.
And you think about it, I'm like, gosh, smoking a cigarette? Well, Jerry Riggy, a guy who works for us at Capra's, he has a buddy who is hunting in Illinois this week, right?
Yeah.
So he sees this doe at 80 yards. He's bow hunting, keep in mind. It's like 80, 90 yards. I may screw up with this yardage a little bit. But he sees this doe, and all of a sudden he sees this giant 10-pointer. 23-inch inside spread. It was 170 inches. It was huge. And he's like, there's no way this deer is going to come in. He had shit across a creek. Well, this buck, we're talking about scents throughout. It doesn't matter during the rut. And this buck came in right on this doe. The doe comes right towards the creek. I mean, this buck's total concentration is on this doe. I'm going to breed this doe. Comes across this creek, gets to 20 yards. He shoots the buck with a bow. The doe runs around, and the buck, literally with an arrow, is still chasing the doe. Comes back, literally bleeding out of both sides, still trying to get the doe.
Like the bar at 1 o'clock in the morning, man.
Yeah, buddy. Strew's back.
All right, Strewman's back. I screwed up, to be honest with you. This is Jared Mazurek. He's the executive director of the MDHA. Jared, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Jerry's in Colorado right now doing something here. I gave Brandon, our engineer, the wrong phone number, so I sincerely...
It's happened before. It's
it has not. Has not happened. Jared, now you're the new executive director of the Minnesota Deer Hunting Association. How did you live in Colorado. How did that ever take place? Why you as compared to somebody else?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And so I'm originally from Minnesota and actually started out my career working for the Three Rivers Park District. Down in the Twin Cities area and running four corn camps. And so I've been aware of MDHA for quite some time and always kept tabs on the work that they do and been very inspired by that work and I'm very excited to be coming back to my home state and helping to contribute to that work.
What are the responsibilities of the executive director of the MDHA? And back to kind of the same question from the beginning, why you as compared to, were there other people interested in this job? And have you been in touch with these folks for quite some time so they knew who you were?
I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit
why you as compared to anybody else who might want that job? Was the MDHA, did they know about you? Or have you had relationships with them in the past?
No, I mean, I don't think that factored in at all.
Cool.
I mean, this was years ago and actually never worked with anyone directly through MDHA. I was, again, working for the Three Rivers Park District, just running four corn camps for MDHA. And as far as why me, I think that would be a great question for our executive board. But, you know, I think I've devoted my life to conservation, education, the natural resources field, and I think it's really a natural fit for me to be coming in and taking over such a great organization for the state of Minnesota.
It's quite a compliment to you, young man, because I know I think you're in your 30s, and it's quite a compliment. You're taking over someone who did a heck of a job for a number of years as well. We've had him on the show a number of times, and so be proud of yourself. Now, you're in Colorado. Are you under the gun to get to the Twin Cities right away and start your job and begin doing all the work? Or do you have time to sell your property and whatnot? What's the process?
It is a process for sure. But, you know, we're trying to get there as quickly as possible. We're working to sell our house out here. We actually we're under contract to sell this place and
good.
Under contract to buy a place back there. And
good.
So we are doing our best to get back there as soon as possible, but my official start date will be the start of the year.
Good for you. Mark.
Jared, this is Mark here, and we're really excited to have you on in the future, too. You know, deer hunting is a big part of our show. A recent article came out in the Outdoor News that said the first weekend deer harvest was down about 20% from 2021. Are you concerned about that? What do you think the reasons are, and how do we get those numbers back up?
Yeah, I don't know if concerned is the right word. Little bit maybe discouraged, but, you know, I'm very optimistic at the same time. I think deer hunting is such a big heritage and legacy in the state of Minnesota, and I have no doubts that we can recruit more younger hunters as well as some older folks as well that maybe have never tried it out before. And so, you know, entirely optimistic on bringing those numbers back up. And I think we're in a great place to start engaging in that work and getting the word out there on what MDHA does. And mm-hmm. not just for deer hunters, but really for the entire state in terms of habitat preservation and really making public lands accessible for
cool.
everyone.
Good for you.
Yeah. Hey, Jared, I got a quick question, if you don't mind, Mark. Were you going to say something?
No.
Oh, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, too, because I know you're saying about, you know, getting more hunters in, whether it's young or old. I 100% agree with you on that. I personally think, not to stir anything up, it has a lot to do with our wolf population. I think people are seeing less deer. I mean, we were talking about before the show up in Ely area, you know, they're rarely seeing a deer. I had a buddy who hunted 7 days straight, morning to night, and did not see a deer. And they just say, all you do is all your trail cam pictures, all you see is wolves. What do you think we could do better? I know it's a very sensitive subject, Jared. I'm not trying to put you into a corner here, but I mean, there has to be in everyone's mind, even the DNR, that has to be somewhat in play on why deer hunting is down.
Absolutely. You know, the wolf population, really, it reached every benchmark that was intended for the wolf population to meet back in the late 70s and really stabilized then in the 90s. And I think, you know, active wolf management is really, it needs to be a high priority for the state of Minnesota. And I think the best way to do that is to open up a wolf season. You know, we're talking a lot of wolves that need to be managed. And if you look at the carrying capacity of Minnesota and the health of the deer herd, the moose herd, all of that, we cannot sustain our cervid populations with the current wolf populations. And so wolf management is definitely a top priority for us.
You're on the same page with all of us here, Jared, and I'm glad you're coming back to the Twin Cities. We're talking with Jared Mazurek, and he's with the new executive director of the MDHA. He's going to be starting the first of the year. What are you most excited about when you start your job, and what kind of has you on edge as being the new director?
Yeah, most excited. Really, I'm taking every step I can right now to be able to hit the ground running when I get back there early January. And so I don't think there's an aspect of this position that I'm not excited about. But really what is top of my mind right now is growing and engaging our membership
there. There you go.
You know, we have a very strong cohort of MDHA members, and I think really getting them excited and reinvigorated to further the work that we do is a high priority for me. And then beyond that, really growing that network as well. You know, there's a lot of community members out there that haven't historically been involved in MDHA, and I think would really enjoy the work that we do and benefit from the work that we do. And so it's really a matter of telling that story and getting them involved.
Attaboy, Sam.
Yeah, Jared, I agree with you. I think membership is obviously the biggest key into anything we're talking about right now. It's just words, unless, you know, you guys have the funding and the support to back it up. I know I'm speaking for Stu and Mark myself. We'd love to help you in any way to grow that. Also, too, you know, with Capra's, a store that I own in Blaine, Minnesota, right in the Twin Cities, it's a huge deer hunting community. If there's anything I can do to help push memberships, like these guys, too, I'm sure they would, too. We would love to help. Do you have any idea when you come here what area of the state you're going to move to?
Yeah, so we are hopefully closing soon on a house right up in the Grand Rapids area.
Ooh.
Just north of Grand Rapids.
Good for you.
But
beautiful.
I will be spending quite a bit of time down in the cities, you know,
okay,
at the Capitol, and really rubbing elbows with the big wigs and trying to get our policies and our message out there.
Jared, we're going to be right with you all the way. The Four Outdoorsman's been around for 8 years, and we've supported you guys and everybody else involved in the DNR and outdoors since day one. Jared Mazurek, be a friend of ours. We're going to lean on you occasionally a couple of times a year for stories and input, and you can lean on us anytime you like as well. Welcome back to the Twin Cities. When you get settled here in a month or two or so, text me. I think we've already shared phone numbers, and we'll start the conversation, and hopefully we can help you being the new executive director of the Minnesota Deer Hunters Association. Congratulations, and welcome back home.
That sounds great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
All right. Good luck on the closings, young man.
All right.
Yeah. Good luck.
Talk to you later.
Well, that's a big job.
Very good.
Yeah.
Good for him. Sounds like he's going to do great.
Well, he's got the right idea, and he's a young guy. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of energy. He's only in his like early mid 30s, like I said, and good for him.
What I do like is that MDHA takes stands on hot button issues and they stick by it.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of organizations like that are scared of, you know, fending off certain people or certain opinions. In the past, anyway, they've been like, no, we're for this kind of regulation, we're against this. And usually it's to the benefit of hunters, and I hope it stays that way. And good luck, Jared.
Well, good luck to him, because he's the real deal.
Yeah.
Moving to Grand Rapids because he was raised in Minnetonka. So he's jumping in with both feet, pal. Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening to the 4 Outdoorsmen. Have a great, safe week, and hopefully you join us next week. Get ready for Real Talk Outdoors following us. And in the meantime, my buddy Mark's got some advice for you.
Get outside and make some memories.